Hello everybody, I'm Bush from Ireland. Well, thanks for coming back to my channel. And this is about Morgan McSweeney. And he's resigned as Chief of Staff of the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Sir Keir Starmer. Well, perhaps I should forecast this. I think everybody saw that coming. It was a matter of time. Happened sooner than I thought, because the really bad stuff is yet to come when everything's going to be published. Obviously, the Starmer administration tried to resist this, but there's yet another backbench rebellion by Labour, and then they couldn't. And I can't remember, it was the humble address or something. Is that the mechanism the Conservative Party used to get these documents? Something that Sir Keir used very effectively when he was in opposition to obtain the publication of documents that was highly uncongenial to the governing party, the Conservatives in those days. So yeah, McSweeney has fallen on his sword. The question is, how long before Starmer falls him? Everybody says it's just a matter of time. It's when, not if. I remember when it became blatant that Liz Truss was going to resign. It happened sooner than I forecast. Because early October, I remember betting someone to lunch, and I said she'd still be there by Christmas. In fact, she resigned the 25th of October. Once it becomes obvious that someone's going to go, he or she goes quite quickly. But here I am predicting going to hang on till the 8th of May, because Wes Streeting, Angela Rayner, not sure they would carry the day if they rebelled. Are they even more unpopular with him? Because get rid of Keir Starmer, step one. That's the easy part. Who else? Who replaces him? Because Wes Streeting is tainted by the fact that he was a dear friend of Peter Mandelson, knowing all this. So there's guilt by association there. I mean, is he too young? I mean, the fact that he's on the right of the party, the left will hate him. Some people against him because he's gay or whatever. I mean, he's absolute evil, evil bastard, but won't go into that. I mean, they all are in the Labour cabinet. And then Angela Rayner. Okay, so what about His Majesty's Customs and Revenue's investigation into her tax evasion by lying by to evade that £40,000 stamp duty? That's a ball in the air. Where's it going to come down, saying that she's in the wrong or not? They don't know. And what is it? If you make a prime minister and the HMRC said no, she was evading taxation, is her position even tenable? And I know she's got plenty of supporters. She's loved by the grassroots of the Labour Party. There are people in the parliamentary party who revile her, who see her as, a cynical opportunist who exploits her class, her sex, and so on, who was overpromoted, who's just frankly dim and stuff like that, who's too emotional, who's someone who just should never be leader. And she just doesn't have the temperament or the cognitive skills for it. Doesn't mean she won't win, though. I mean, I think that he would edge it, Streeting, but I'm not sure. Obviously, Ed Miliband will be talking about those, the only serious contenders. David Lammy is way down the field. Got far less support from the parliamentary party, all the ordinary members of the party, likewise Shabana Mahmood, Yvette Cooper, and that's about it. Funnily enough, Lucy Powell, deputy leader of the Labour Party, she's not even part of the conversation. So Morgan McSweeney, anyway, he comes from Macroom, a town I've been to. But no, I might have even walked past him on the street there. But anyway, he's Downing Street Chief of Staff. And he dropped out of school. He moved to the United Kingdom. He was working in construction. He tried university. He failed the first year. He worked in Israel for a bit. He came back. He went to Middlesex University, one of the worst universities in the UK. He got himself a degree. He was attracted to the Labour Party by the Good Friday Agreement. Of course, what really brought the Good Friday Agreement was the victory of the security forces over terrorism, loyalist and Republican. Anyway, so then he worked his way up through the Labour Party from the lowest level. And he's known Peter Mandelson really from the beginning of his career in the Labour Party. And yeah, just as a campaigner on the streets, were chief of staff of the leader of Lambeth Council, Lambeth being one of the most Labour councils in the United Kingdom, roughly 50 councillors, usually 45 of them Labour. Might be the Greens or the Lib Dems. The Conservatives just don't have a presence there. And then he was part of this far left group called Hope Not Hate, this pro illegal immigration organization. So he was with the commies there. Not that all their enemies are good. Some of the people that are really are racist and so on. So then he supported Liz Kendall when she stood for the leadership in 2015. One of the few Labour politicians I respect. I mean, I know she's an evil, evil bitch in her way, but she is at least intelligent and she has the right views on a few issues. Most Labour MPs got the wrong views on just about everything. But although she's on the right of the party, then he joined Labour Together, which is trying to get kicked out Corbyn, so probably that wasn't surprising. But in 2020, when Sir Keir Starmer stood for the leadership of the Labour Party, he was on his side. Okay, so Labour Together, this sort of moderate group within Labour, and so on. So he's been chief of staff, director of campaigns. He's going to be the brains behind that 2029 victory. But the big problem for him was that should they appoint Lord Mandelson as ambassador to the United States or not? And he's the one who really pushed for it. Now, Angela Rayner saying when she was in cabinet, she warned against it. I don't know if that's true or not, but anything that weakens Starmer is good news for her leadership ambitions, reason to throw him out. But you didn't resign from the cabinet if it's unacceptable. Got to be fair to these Labour monsters. A lot of stuff that has come into the public domain now, they didn't know. Okay, they knew that Mandelson's friendship with Epstein continued after Epstein's conviction and so on. But you should have thought Mandelson was forced to resign in disgrace twice in the cabinet. Why would you bring him back as with the most important ambassadorship? Now, he had been the European Union Commissioner for Trade. So, by the way, being disgraced, being a liar, being up to financial skullduggery was no obstacle to him getting a top job in the European Union. But as the United Kingdom was trying to negotiate a new trade deal with the United States, the idea is he knew so much about trade that he could negotiate a favorable deal. Now, I've got to hand off to Mandelson, absolute evil bastard that he is. He's done everything he can to promote violence against children, particularly sexual violence against children. He is not stupid. Even his worst enemy wouldn't say he's dim, and his enemies are legion. The people always reviled him with the Labour Party because he's such a creep. Now, some of it was just envy. They coveted his position, him being Tony Blair's right-hand man and so forth. But he was good at buttering up Donald Trump because he's such a brown noser. He always says exactly the right thing, so-called charisma. But, he is a sickening sycophant. And he managed to achieve a good rapport with the Trump administration. Not an easy task. And that's why Sir Keir Starmer's visit to Washington, D.C. went quite well, paved the way for President Trump's state visit to the United Kingdom a few months ago, and that went off flyingly and so on. But then, what's his name? Mandelson had to resign, I think, just before that, September last year. Only held the ambassadorship for a few months. But that was McSweeney's idea. That was his advice. But Starmer's the one who followed the advice. The buck stops there. You're not obliged to go along with the advice. You're free to reject the advice. And he received contradictory advice. I remember as a schoolboy, one of the trickiest things trying to make choices about my adult life was to choose between contradictory advice. He says do this, she says do that. Who do I believe? And you've got to figure out yourself. And that's leadership. And Starmer is not a schoolboy. The other thing is, supposing one of his strengths is his caution. And you say how incautious he was. And more has come out. But I mean, anyone could tell you that he's extremely greedy and oligenous, Peter Mandelson. So now that McSweeney is gone, his boss won't be long to follow. We're just counting down. I'm saying 8th of May because the leadership challengers don't think they could overthrow Starmer. Supposing they tried and failed, that would really enfeeble the Labour Party in the run-up to the Super Thursday and probably spell doom for the leadership ambitions of Angela Rayner and or Wes the Treaty, whoever moved against him forever. They want someone else to go first or Starmer to resign himself or something like that. So just after the local elections or whatever, if the results are that bad, Starmer might go, might be pushed out, something like that. So there we go. I mean, Labour was obviously in the doldrums, was dismal for them before Christmas, tried to have a reset in January. My God, you see how badly that went, and so on. So this was a big screw up by him, especially, oh, we're against a child abuse, and then you have someone who's very much adjacent to it. Mandelson, who was begging for payments from Epstein. Oh, no, okay, that's not a crime. But what is a crime is his misconduct in public office, is his insider trading to help this multi-millionaire make even more money. The £4,000 a month that was paid by from Epstein to Mandelson's paramour was clearly a bribe. It was a reward for his economic espionage. Right. So thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan7@gmail.com. The one thing about Morgan McSweeney is unemployable. Would you give him a job? I think he's going to have to go back to construction. So that's why I would have hung on to the job if I were him, because he's never going to work in politics again. And that's what he's been in politics in some form or other, like for 25 years. Now, in a way, he's not a public figure and he doesn't give interviews, but he might do now. It's the only way to make a bit of dosh. All right. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallahan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.